95.3 The Score, KUJZ, brings you Crunch Time and Sports Talk Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. with Steve Tannen, only on 95.3 The Score.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
Let's do it!
Climb aboard, all aboard, for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I can't take it anymore.
I am losing my mind.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
I know that, dude.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
Alex is sitting there saying, what the heck are they talking about?
I would have Mariota out at 3 in the morning drunk, pawning his Heisman Trophy to get into an illegal poker house.
And now, a guy with lots of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
No, I mean, like, lots of issues.
Shut up and get on with the program. Dude is a snot.
And broadcasting them, searching for answer.
Who is this?
It's Steve Tannen.
Have another donut, you fat pig. You. The 5 o'clock hour on a Tuesday is, wait for it, here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for tuning in. A lot to get to. Kind of this week, traditionally, after a wild card weekend, you know, normally right around now you get the college football championship game. We're already into the NBA season. Baseball's hot stove has cooled off a bit. And you start thinking about college basketball because we're about 8 weeks away from March, which means, you know, the start of championship week into the conference tournaments, into the NCAA tournament. And you start paying a little more attention to the rankings. And, you know, you get some of these great games like Ohio State and Maryland tonight. Then you got Baylor, Texas Tech, and, you know, as the week moves along here in town. We just had a great conversation with Ryan Hansen, the radio analyst for Arizona, about Ducks and Cats, which, like he said, has grown into, you know, one of the best rivalries in this conference. Lot on the line, ranked teams looking to kind of check off those big quadrant one victories in hopes of positioning themselves better seeding wise for the big dance. So we'll talk about that. I also wanted to get a bit into, by the way, did I miss anything? We're still waiting to on Anthony Rendon, right? No. Wait a minute.
I know the answer, Steve. Do you know the answer?
No, I just totally spaced.
Oh, boy. Do I get to tease you with it for a little bit?
Yes.
Do I get to play? Ooh, I have all the power in my hands. It's a team.
It's kind of
an important team. It's an interesting move that was me. Okay.
All right. I don't know why I ran into a little mental roadblock there. But, well, historically, we know if the Angels spend big, it blows up in their face.
Because it happened in, what, like early November, and then just football kept happening through the end of the season. It's like, oh, Rendon signed. Okay, whatever. See you later. They need pitching. They didn't sign a pitcher. Congratulations. Also, I think it was hours after Garrett Cole signed in New York. So the idea that
you especially
would not talk about New York signing a big name, it's got to pass.
All right, if you insist. And if any of you also want in, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. You can hit us up via the text line, 321-0824. Chris Bryant's still on the Cubs, right? They didn't trade him. Josh Donaldson, he's with...
He replaced Rendon in Washington.
All right.
Thank you. Yes, I'm very up to date with my baseball offseason. Thank you very much.
I need to actually write this down on my cheat sheet. Bryant gets a stay. Donaldson to the Nats. Braves, no, not involved. And I think the Twins did something eventually back in like late October or November.
Did they? They signed,
or maybe their rotation a little bit?
Yeah, I was going to say, they signed like a number three guy that they're going to have be their number two guy, but it doesn't really count.
Was it Keuchel or Pineda?
No, Keuchel went to the White Sox?
Yeah, it's amazing how all of a sudden it's like, I've completely forgot what happened to these guys. Anyway, 284.
Yes! Got it right! It is the White Sox. Yeah, hell yeah!
By the way, I'm like, I had like a year glitch. I was like, Braves, right? No, that was a year ago. Well, actually, it wasn't a year ago because they got into the season before they ended up signing him.
It was less than 6 months ago. Well, maybe a little over 6 months ago. It was July.
Yeah, it was one of those. Yeah, Michael Pineda is, well, first of all, he's probably injured, but I think he got a second chance with the Twins. All right, it just goes to show that a couple times a month moving forward towards spring training, which, by the way, next month, pitchers and catchers report, I need to do a little bit of a catch-up, but not now, still. Working towards the NFL's divisional weekend. Monday, we get Clemson and LSU. Got some NBA. By the way, the Blazers play tonight. Yeah, this season has gone from, well, it's good reason to be optimistic, to, uh-oh, there's an injury to Zach Collins, to, well, that's a bad loss, to, yeah, they're at halftime now at Toronto, and they're losing again by double digits, and, you know, they're in danger of falling 8 games below 500, which I guess the only solace you could take is that, you know, they're still coming together as a lot of new moving parts. But with Memphis, it's ridiculous. You got Minnesota, Portland, and the Grizz, all 7 games under 500, but only a game behind San Antonio, who's 5 games under 500 for the 8th seed. I mean, you know, as crazy as it sounds, even though Oklahoma City is only the 7, but they're above 500, comfortably above 500. I mean, their winning percentage is 100 points better. So unless there's a dramatic turnabout, there's going to be like a 5-way race for the 8th seed to get your ass absolutely handed to you in the first round by, I don't know, the Lakers, the New Jays. Do we trust Houston? Because right now, the Los Angeles Lakers have a 4-game lead. The Bucks in the East have a 5-game lead. So that's it's a little strange.
Is it rebuild, reload time for Portland? Is it time to move some contracts around, free up some cap space, get everybody thinking towards the summer, a little free agency play here and there, a little trade?
Well, you know,
this,
free agency is not an option with them. I think their best bet is do nothing, get Collins and Nurkic back, and just see how they finish and see if the moves could just open up any kind of bright light for next season. But
start trading some guys for some picks, a little cap space, sign some the right filler pieces that you actually need to retool for next year. Might be the time.
I just don't think that's their modus operandi. So we shall see what we shall see. I wanted to talk about cheating. 284-8571. Being a Jersey guy, there's just a natural cynicism. But I'm also wondering and looking at some of this stuff, at the end of the day, am I just a little on the naive side? I mean, I've never got PEDs or steroids because it's just a lie. I don't get what the Patriots did videotaping the opponent's sidelines. And now they're stealing signs in baseball and kind of going high tech with what the Astros and now the allegations against the Red Sox. And of course, when you take these blatant stands and then if you get caught doing something, people will be like, well, you're kind of a hypocrite. And all I could say is kind of on my word, when the Mitchell report came out and we learned about Knobloch and Clemens and who's the big lefty, Pettit, who's a confessed Roid user. And it's just like one of the favorite periods of my sports life was that run with the Yankees from 96 through, I'm going to say 2003. I know they won it in 2009. But that period where they won it, made the playoffs, won it, made the World Series, made the playoffs, made the World Series. I mean, you know, that's a pretty amazing run. That's like a Patriots run for MLB. Four World Series titles, two other appearances. The other two, they made the playoffs. You know, Knobloch in the Mitchell Report. Then it turned out he's a scumbag. He got arrested for assaulting his wife. Pettit admitted using, trying to paint it as just wanting to be there for his teammates. And it's like, but you cheated. It doesn't matter why you did it. And then, of course, the Mr. Misremembers, Roger Clemens. And the 77
Once
Yankees,
again, Mr. Commerce, I think he misremembers the conversation that we had.
Misremembers lost the talent competition to Miss Alabama that year, or misremembers would have been Miss America 1998. I was asking you the other day, what's your favorite of the three, 2010, 12, or 14 that the Giants won, because those are the three of your lifetime. My favorite was the first one because there's just a big tie-in. The Yankees were terrible when I was growing up. Then the free agency came around. They capitalized on their financial edge. They brought in, you know, Catfish and Reggie. And in 76, they made the series. Then they signed Reggie, and they won it. And, you know, the legendary three homers in Game 6. That's my all-time favorite Yankee team. My second is 98. But it's tainted. It's just tainted when there's multiple guys. I mean, you know, it's the same thing. And they didn't win a World Series, but, you know, Barry Bonds saying he didn't know what the Creamer Clear was. Right. The guy who threatened to cut off his mistress's head and leave her by the side of the road. Nope, no roid rage there. And the BB on the Balco ledgers, where Greg Anderson went to jail rather than admit. So BB was Billy Bean. He's a Bay Area guy. Barbara Bush.
Bill Belichick. Fan of cheating.
The hoodie.
Fan of cheating. Prove me wrong. Fan of cheating.
Bridget Bardot.
Yeah, could be.
Bradley Beal.
Wow. Shocker.
So, but like I said, so for those guys and Sosa, was it worth the millions and the adulation to have it all come tumbling down? I mean, Sosa went AWOL for years. Just like he basically checked out, I'm gone. Although I don't know that anything could ever top when Ramirez, Manny got caught that one time. I think it was the third time he popped positive. And by the time word spread and people tried to contact him, one of his PR people said, I think the quote was, you're not going to be able to reach him. He's in Spain. I mean, he was notified that
if you got to get away, you got to get away. You know,
he was notified of his failed test, and he basically packed up, went to the airport, and went to Spain.
If you never, you know, you turn off your phone, you obviously don't have access to email. Smartphones weren't as prevalent. You just,
hey, if you're going to go,
your agent's trying to call you. Were there still pay phones? Maybe that's a thing. Nobody really knows where you're going. Take a vacation to Barcelona. Why not? Have some tapas.
I'm in favor of checking out Barcelona. But under those, he didn't vacation, he fled to Barcelona.
Tomato, tomato, vacation, fleeing, whatever.
I don't know. Cheating at sports has always confused me. Maybe because, you know, the one sport that I played for a long time in high school, year of college, competitively was golf, which, you know, there have been guys who've been accused and, you know, assessed penalties, and some have bad reputations, but whether it's the gentleman's game, I don't know how to explain it. It just, having grown up, this might sound like a strange connection. I grew up with a pool table. So we played straight pool, where you call your shot. So there was no, well, were you aiming there? No. Seven, side, Well, and if you, you know, if you comboed accidentally, it didn't count. You know, all right, seven, kiss the ace in a corner. And even when we played eight ball, we didn't play ball in hand. And if you aimed for the five in the corner and missed and it goes in the side, we're like, no, no slop. You lose your turn. And
no slop.
Have you ever heard that in pool?
No, I've never like actually competitively played a game of billiards or pool. Like I've never, I've played and it's like fun, but I've done it with, you know, family and we're just hanging out or
I'm
at somebody's house and they have a pool table. I'm like, I don't have one of these. This is the coolest thing ever. I'm just going to keep slamming these things into each other until one of them goes in. All I know is that you can't really let the cue ball go in and the eight balls last. After that, whatever. I'm just out here having fun because I never get to do this.
Well, I mostly, growing up, from the time I was about 12, played pool competitively for something. Maybe a little cash, maybe just to keep the table. And then once I started going out to bars, you know, drink here for some money here. And I would always be very, people were like, nah, we play slop. I'm like, nah, I'm not playing you for nothing. I'll play it for screwing around. 'Cause a lot of times in a bar, you know, it's more about moving it along. But it puts a taint on victory. And hey, you guys have heard me on this show. If I have a question that's asked to me, and I'll be like, "Well, I don't know," or "Is it?" And if I give a wrong answer, it'll be like, "All right, I'm wrong. That's it." Or if I know it, I'll say, "Well, I saw Rob write about it, or I saw Ryan from the Register Guard. That's why I knew that." I don't even like taking false credit for the information I have. So maybe I'm a little over the top because false credit sucks. It taints your actual knowledge. I mean, hell, when I play poker, sometimes picture a circular table, and if you have more than five guys, a sixth guy, sometimes guys get a little liberal. They'll hold their cards up, and I'll always put them down. I don't want to see your cards. I want to play the game right.
Ethical Jones.
Yeah. You know, maybe in some other areas. No, only kidding. But the term that my buddy's dad used to say is guard your cards. You know, slide, peek. There's five of them. You got to memorize. Although I'm one of those lunatics who, when you play down and dirty, you get your last card. I always milk the crap out of them for luck to try and get it because, I don't know, I don't like unfair edges. I like a level playing field. I don't know. Maybe I'm a dying breed and somewhat of a unicorn. But I guess I've never been in a position where I could cheat and make $17 million.
But that's the thing. It's like you are competitive, but you're competitive to the point where your own ethical system has come in line. You said, I know the line. I'm not going to cross it. Then you get into the ultra-competitive point of view where it's like, I can only win kind of competition.
Okay, I see that.
This is how far it goes. I have X amount of money on the line. I need to find this guy who can do this thing better. I need to figure out what kind of pitch is coming next because I need my odds of this next base hit being a hit that's going to drive in a run, or I know my guy needs to swing hard enough because a fastball is coming so he can hit the crap out of the ball and it's going to go over the fence because we need to win. It is about winning. And if a little cheating here, a little video there, a little some of this, a little bang on the trash can,
justification comes into.
Oh, yeah, and the justification is crap because ethics should still mean something. People are saying, oh, they're using the technology that's out there to gain the advantage. Well, no, the sport's been played without it for long enough. If you're able to watch somebody's sideline on a football game, see their hand signals, their signs, you're trying to figure out what the indicator is, you figure out what the play is. If you can write that down on a piece of paper and hand it to Bill Belichick, you stole a sign fair and square using your eyes. When you're filming a scout on the sideline and you're figuring it out what you're doing and you're analyzing it and you're able to pinpoint multiple indicators to figure something out, you've gone too far. Like it's just...
I see what you mean, but would the ultimate be what we learned when PEDS really started to explode. And there was a survey taken among Olympians that basically you could take PEDS, win gold medals, but like die at 30. And there was a percentage of them that would have been like, yeah, that's okay.
titles live forever. You know, they rarely ever take banners down unless you're Michigan basketball. They live forever.
Or USC.
Or, yeah, USC and Reggie Bush. He doesn't even exist.
Well, when I heard that, I was like, so you, to win that race, you'd risk dying at 30 just so you can carry around a gold medal to bars. So I guess cheating for millions where you could live is not that big a leap. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Tony. Tony, good afternoon. How's it going?
Good, Stevie T. How are you?
All right, what's happening?
You know, I think the argument is there's more important put on winning than there is on I was once a cheater. You know, I was a cheater, but I won all these games, all these home runs. You know, I took our teams to finals here and there. You're still a champion, but you have an asterisk. Nobody looks at the asterisk hardly at all. Roger Clemens is still Roger Clemens. Was he? Sure. To a guy like you, who's a kind of a speak, right? A Vince, DBT, you know, love you, but no. To a guy like you, yeah, that 98 team, cheaters, but they still won. You know, Barry Bonds, runs, still won. Eh, could he tell the between the you know, the two solutions? Eh, no, whatever. So I think the money, the need to win, and the need to win drives the money, far outweighs what people look at as I was once a cheater.
Obviously. And Tony, you're breaking up a little bit, but I appreciate your contribution. All right, 284-8571. Let's bring in Ken. Ken, good afternoon. How's it going?
Great, Steve. How are you?
All right, what's up?
So break out your tinfoil hat. I got a conspiracy theory for you.
Okay.
So how many weeks ago was it that the sideline guy for the Patriots was exposed? It was before the Browns game, right?
Well,
what was,
yeah, it was
their record after that week? They played the Browns and won, but then how many of their last games did they win or lose?
Well, it was for the Bengals game.
Bengals, yeah.
Yeah, and so they played Cincinnati on December 15th. They beat them. They beat the Bills, which locked up their playoff spot, and I think the division. Then they lost at Miami a week ago Sunday, which cost them their bye, and then they just lost to Tennessee.
So a question I guess I would have in with those things talking about cheating and, you know, how it applies across the board. Well, look at the Patriots. All the years they've had home field advantage and the records they've had after a bye or after those kind of weeks when they've been able to do reconnaissance. But in the weeks where they've played a playoff game and not known who they were playing and not able to send people across the country, what compare their record then? You know, you just get little things where you can't prove it, you can't not prove it, but when you start seeing all these instances of guys are banging trash cans or using the replay TVs or other things, it just opens up the questions. Especially when they lose certain set advantages, how the playing field levels out. Just food for thought.
No, interesting. I like the fact that we could now say banging garbage cans, and everybody in sports knows exactly what you're talking about. All right, before we break, by the way, tomorrow from 10 to 4, check this out. This is killer value. The folks at Jiffy Lube on 7th, for just $10, you can get an oil change. Again, tomorrow from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m., get the Value Oil Change Plus from Jiffy Lube on 7th, $10. Again, tomorrow, 10 to 4, Jiffy Lube next to Champion Car Wash. Seems like a pretty, pretty good deal, or as they say, a pretty good value. All right, break time is here. We'll do that. We'll come back. We'll have an update. I want to continue this conversation coming at you next. 95.3 The Score.
Mm-hmm. 95.3 The Score is your home for live sports talk all day, every day. Download the TuneIn app and take 95.3 The Score with you wherever you go.
For San Francisco, it's about Jimmy Garoppolo, who really has carried this football team more so than I think people expected in the second half of the season, as the defense really had to regain its footing. And the passing game in particular is one for San Francisco that can be very explosive, because both of these teams are very similar in the way they're constructed. Like, to run the football, have ferocious pass rushes. Those two aspects will show up. It's going to be about the quarterback who can play better.
Louis Riddick, ESPN, Garoppolo versus Cousins. Talking about how Jimmy Garoppolo played the second half of the season as we welcome you back to Sports Talk 95.3 The Score. I follow Linda Cohn on Twitter. Here's a really interesting take about the Giants hire. The Joe Judge surprise head coach selection by the Giants reminds me of their stunning, no one saw it coming, we better get him before somebody else does pick of Daniel Jones in the draft. She tags it with, too early to judge both these moves. No pun intended. And she's right. Someday we may look back at the drafting of Daniel Jones and be like, now, for those of you holding out on hating Gettleman, here's perfect example. And of course, if the whole thing blows up in their face, the hiring. But if we're down the road, next year I think is a time buyer. But if into the 2021 season, they're all of a sudden in contention and it's November and they're playing big games against Dallas and Philly and whoever else is on their schedule, and they had just come off maybe a 500 season when they might have been in the division or the wild card hunt getting into November, you'd be like, okay, so both of those moves were pretty good, but here on 1-7-2020 right now, jury is way, way, way out on the whole kit and caboodle. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. We're talking about cheating. Well, I'm just trying to say the value of cheating, or the willingness to cheat, whether, you know, where have the biggest scandals been? Track and field, certainly baseball during the Peds era popped to mind. And I get that on an international level, you know, weightlifting and some of the stuff like that, or, you know, specifically targeting the Eastern Bloc countries, or that one video that we saw several years ago at a weightlifting event, I think it might have been in Czechoslovakia, and you see the participants, the athletes, like walking in, and you could see like stopping, and the word got out that the dope patrol was there, and it was like, stop on a dime, and everybody turned and left. And it's like, wow, you're not even hiding it. It's just like, I ain't getting tested, I'm out of here.
But
this might sound obnoxious, but for a show like this, who really gives a crap about international weightlifting?
That's fair. But it still has to do with, you know, the effects of like how PEDs work, and, you know, how all of that plays out, and does it actually help you? Is it helpful and beneficial in any way? And that's what happened in, I think the documentary was called Icarus. It was this reporter who was like an amateur cyclist, bike rider or whatever.
Yeah, somebody just texted and be like, yeah, let's not forget about the Tour de France.
Right. Yeah, that's yeah. And so it's huge in cycling as well. And like the thing that got Lance Armstrong down was that he like ratted out on his teammates, and his teammates ratted him out because he was being, I think, such a Richard about taking all the credit all the time.
Right.
And everybody's like, look, can you just test him once? Because he's going to fail. Don't test anybody else. We'll all fail too. But he's the worst about it, and he won't take any credit that the Peds are helping him. But that's kind of like the line that Icarus, the guy who was doing the Icarus documentary, was trying to take, was to figure out how much this helps by you taking performance-enhancing drugs. Does it help you? He found this Russian guy, and then, well, from there, it just went crazy. But like, I think it helps you if you have somebody who's telling you what to do and how to do it, when to take these drugs, because not everybody, but a lot of people wouldn't be taking them if they didn't work and it wouldn't be a problem. That's just the drugs. Now you've got baseball with so much technology being involved and put into the game and the opportunity and loopholes that are there for teams to exploit before baseball can actually catch up and get ahead of this are way too big. You've got coaches wearing smart, I think it was actually a Red Sox coach, wearing an Apple Watch in the dugout, trying, you know, getting signs in from whoever. The two franchises now that also both linked to Alex Cora, doing a whole lot of sign stealing. And it's just like, okay, sure, if everybody's been stealing signs for forever and you can do that, yeah, if you're going to keep stealing signs, which is kind of unethical that you're trying to figure out what your opponent is doing, but that's, again, part of the competition. Yeah, why wouldn't you use the technology to help you so that you know exactly what they're doing because you know what every sign is? You know if the belt's the indicator, the hat's the indicator,
right,
the ear,
right,
the
right.
third
well,
sign.
Well, everybody learned indicator in Little League.
Right, but you still got to use them in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, by the way, to the person that texted me when I said Czechoslovakia, which is now the Czech Republic, and what would they break in? Slovakia. So, yeah, you know what I mean, though. Ball busters. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon fuel injection hotline. Well, the reason Armstrong will always be viewed as just one of the worst beyond his cheating, it's just... He saw it as the nobody played the I've never failed a drug test card more than he did. And he went after people. I mean, he tried to ruin careers. He tried to ruin lives in protecting. You know, Alex Rodriguez kind of did the same thing. I mean, he has rehabbed his image. And the one kind of out pitch Armstrong will always have, and somebody always brings it up, and it's kind of true. I mean, if you had a child who was suffering from cancer and the money was raised and saved their life, you think you give a crap who won a bicycle race?
Oh, man. I mean, those little wristbands were the coolest bands that you, everybody was making bands after Lance Armstrong was like,
that
yeah,
was
wear
the star,
this.
Wasn't it?
Oh, he, yeah, that
for
was the number
every cause.
One. Yep, it was everything. It did a cause, schools, stores, radio stations, I'm sure, you know, the Score back in the day or the Moose or whatever it was, they had bands. Everybody was like, if you could, you were cooler if you had the most bands that you had in like third and fourth grade. You were the coolest kid in school if you had eight of them. And even though everybody was so little, they'd just fall off your wrist anyways. So you just had to like keep your arm up in the air so they'd all dangle there or whatever. Oh, if you didn't have a band, you were not cool, man.
Yeah, he, well, it was like Ryan Braun. Remember when he failed his test, all of a sudden he turned his attention to the guy who kept the sample overnight. I forgot what name is his. He was a FedEx guy or something like that. And he went on the attack after him. And it was like, it doesn't change the fact that your test was positive. It's such an annoying redirect and just an unwillingness to accept the fact you tried to cheat. You went for the edge, whether it was to get a big contract in MLB, to win the Tour de France, to win a gold medal, you got caught. Was it worth it? And remember one thing, whether it was Sosa, McGuire, Clemens, or any of the juicers, nobody went back and said, well, you signed that $18 million a year contract, so we caught you. Yeah, you got to give back the last 3 years, $54 million. That never happened. It might have hindered their ability for future earnings, but in essence, they got away with it.
Melky Cabrera of the Giants.
Oh, the milkman.
Yeah, right. He had a massive 2012, wins the World Series. I think he was an All-Star Game MVP in 2013. Signs a huge deal with another team, and 2 months later, popped. And everybody's just like, so what do we do? Like, this guy who was just completely average, had a great 6 months in baseball, signs this massive deal that's fully guaranteed, and it's just he just gets to keep all that money, and he still keeps getting signed by teams year after year because it's like, ah, that those steroids could kick in again, and or sorry, not the steroids. He could have the second time of year of his career in just a couple months. If we just give him some time here, he'll figure it out.
Like I said, I don't understand somebody who plays a sport. Winning is gives you that kind of satisfaction, but to know that I really didn't beat you fair and square. I had an edge. You didn't know it. I could trash talk you right now, but at the end of the day, if I didn't have to go to the well or cheat or use an illegal substance, it's almost like a confession. I don't think I could have been as good as I was, and maybe I don't think I could have beaten you straight up.
But that's the thing, is you're not going to openly talk about the cheating that you're doing, because that's going to get you in trouble. So
right.
You have to assume that the other team is also cheating at the same time, because the odds of, you know, well, if I'm cheating and I'm trying to gain an advantage and everybody else has all of this technology on their hands, who's to say they aren't cheating? They just haven't been successful at it yet. They haven't been able to figure out the keys. They're cheating wrong. They're not reading the film
you're
right.
You're not cheating
they're,
right.
Yeah, they're cheating wrong, and we have to do it better. We have to do it faster. We have to do it this way. You know, we have to assume they're cheating just like we're cheating, and we have to do it better, quieter, and faster than anybody else can to get an advantage.
Yeah, it's the bottom line, especially in football. You play until the whistle blows, and a lot of guys who have been known as, you know, maybe cheap shot artists or a little bit chippy. Now, I play until the whistle blows, and it's kind of like the tie into if you're not cheating, you're not trying. And the counterpunch to that was, I've seen a couple of shows about this where when people play A, every politician is corrupt, or B, everybody was using, it's like, well, there's a lot of stories of friendships that broke up. You know, guys who maybe got drafted in MLB, went through the farm system together, and, you know, maybe one guy only reached AA or AAA, but his buddy maybe reached the major leagues, and even if he only had, you know, a cup of coffee, knocked around for 3 or 4 years, was still earning, you know, the $450,000, $500,000, and was found to have been juicing. And the guys who did it straight up and never made it and found out that who was supposed to be their roommate, their teammate, cheated, it's like friendships have ended. There has been a lot of the dark side of this that has come to be. So and if you're clean and the subject surfaces when people say, oh, everybody's doing it, it's like, hey, F you. If I did, maybe I could have reached the major leagues, and I didn't. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. And by the way, this all stems from what we're hearing now about where the Red Sox stealing signs in 2018. There's going to be substantial punishment doled out to the Astros. And like you said, there's the Alex Cora connection. And, you know, talking about what the Patriots were doing, videotaping the sidelines. I mean, is there going to be an eternal taint on this dynasty? It doesn't matter, because let's face it, history will move along if it's not properly documented. People will see 2001 to 2018 and go, wow, those guys were better than everybody else. All right, that brings us to our final break, and we'll do just that. We'll come back, we'll have the tweet of the day, and wrap up a Tuesday, 95.3, The Score.
And now, it's the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day.
They are trending, twittering, tweeting, you name it.
On Sports Talk with Steve Tannen.
LOL, laugh out loud, OMG, oh my God, WTF, why the face?
Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Hi, everybody.
Yo, Doc, Nick.
Hi, Steve. Nick Rogers here at the Coors Light Frostbrewed Sports Desk for the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment that is made to kill. First up, a nominee. We have a great pun from at Mina Kimes on Twitter. She replied to Adam Schefter, who had tweeted out the news that the Giants are actually going to be signing or won't be able to get Matt Rhule, was the news that Schefter broke. And at Mina Kimes replied, so you're saying he was overruled? Very good pun there. We had a lot of fun as well from at BillyLong07. He's the one who put out the super gif of a ton of college football helmets and trying to screenshot or pause on your four teams that would make the playoff. We had a very good one from at Jeromney. He got Michigan. He said, first click, already unrealistic. I had a super Pac-12 one of Baylor, Stanford, ASU, and UW. I can't imagine the chaos that would go down there. A lot of good stuff as well. We're tweeting about trying to figure out what your name would be on an XFL jersey if you were to play. Some good Tannenisms that got put in all of that. Good luck in prison probably being the best one. But our tweet of the day comes from at Mark Chapman, who posted a video entitled "The Perfect Storm of Being Hit in the Knackers While Wearing a Microphone." Tears of pain, tears of laughter. This happened to a man named Liam who was playing some cricket, and we need to hear what happened to Liam here. It's quite spectacular.
Oh no!
That unfortunately is the third time this evening.
Oh no!
He might not get up from this.
He's not in good shape.
Yeah, when your partner's looking quite concerned. Yeah, I think he's in a bit of strife.
Concerned.
Oh, no!
The reaction. Oh. I'll just take over the commentary for the next
bit,
thanks, fellas.
Bill. Dear. Dear me.
It's exactly what you think happened to this poor man who made this sound.
Oh, no!
I can't even cut it.
Oh no!
I'm broken down here because
dude's gonna lose his mind.
I don't know if that's what he said because he knew he was wearing the microphone and he couldn't swear. I don't know if that's just what happens when you get hit down there with a cricket ball.
Oh, no!
But somebody else described it
as... Oh, no!
Somebody described it as a plea from God. That is the sound that you make. I can't get over it. I think that's the perfect sound. I think it might be the perfect sound I've ever heard.
I'll tell you what. When it comes to sports, I've always been willing. I am never playing cricket. I don't care if I move to India or Pakistan where it's so huge. It's just like, you want to play? No. Well, there's not like baseball. I don't care. You play. You got golf. You got darts. You, hey, have you guys heard of cornhole? This is like admit it. This is the best thing that's ever happened in your life.
It's such a perfect sound. It's so...
Well, for everybody but the one guy.
Well, that's kind of also what makes it funny. It's like you realize the pain that he's going through. In another clip that they show where it's like in slow motion, and you see the contact happen, you can hear the clunk that it makes when it hits his cup. And luckily he's wearing a cup because I think that's the only reason he's able to yell.
The reason he's alive. Or he's not a soprano at this point.
So, thanks to at Mark Chapman for posting this video. I think you made my day. You can follow the station on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at 953thescore. I'm on Twitter at Rick Nodgers. Steve is on Twitter at SportsTalk953. Don't be a jerk. Just do it.
And, JDI, and just don't get hit in the nards.
Oh, no!
Good God, y'all. Good God, y'all. All right, we're into the home stretch of our stay with you on this Tuesday edition of Sports Talk. Man, there's a lot of college hoop on right now. I mean, ESPN, Maryland, number 12 team in the country, taking on the Ohio State University, last 5.5 minutes. The Titans are up 8 points. Penn State and Big Ten action are in that armpit of society known as Piscataway, New Jersey, taking on Rutgers. And the Scarlet Knights are up 4 on the Nittanies. You've got Louisville, once number 1, now down to 13, taking on the U. And they just hit a big 3, extend the lead from 7 to 10. Looks like that one is in the bucket. The other game involving two top 25 teams is on the deuce at the top of the hour. We're talking about Maryland and some of the other teams in action tonight. Baylor at the team that played for the Natty last year, Texas Tech, now 22nd in the country. That's in Lubbock. It's crazy when you think about that Baylor program. 17 years ago, Scott Drew took it over And if you remember that disgusting excuse for a person, Dave Bliss, who to try and mask a scandal, tried to pin the whole thing in a lot of ways on a student athlete who had died. You'd have to look up the story. The details kind of elude me, but he actually wound up back in coaching at a different level. I think it might have been like Division III or high school, but he was just a horrible, horrible human being. And, you know, that was the first Baylor scandal before Art Briles. And so the guy's name was, his last name was Dennehy. And turns out that he and his staff knew about just widespread partying. They did not follow procedure for reported drug tests, failed drug tests. He ended up forced to resign back in 2003. And it came to light that he had told players to make up a story about this kid being a drug dealer in order to pay for his tuition. Fortunately, others did not go along with it. He got, in essence, suspended for 10 years, and he had to report back. I mean, it was just, even for a sports scandal, it was disgraceful. So they turn over the program to Scott Drew, who, if you recognize the name, you should. Bryce Drew from, you know, of Valpo fame, and his dad was a coach as well. So it, as, you know, they lost scholarships and faced sanctions, he took over and they won 8 games 1 year, 9 games another, 4 years. And then, you know, they made the Elite Eight in 2010 and 2012. Last year, you know, they were back in the dance. And, you know, they've only got one freshman because they had a pretty full roster, Jackson Moffitt. And they got to benefit from the experience coming back. And they've got a transfer from Auburn who sat out last year, Davion Mitchell, who's a really good all-around guard. So, yeah, tonight's a good night to maybe dig on some hoops of the collegiate variety. And tomorrow being a Wednesday, yeah, we haven't talked to Schroeder since the 18th of December, because Christmas was a Wednesday, New Year's was a Wednesday, and you know, since then he lost his gig at USA Today, but he's doing some freelance. He's also doing some radio for satellite. We'll find out the details, and obviously we got a bunch of catching up to do with all the major New Year's bowl games, looking ahead to Monday's game, and obviously George as wired into national college football as anybody. So it'll be fun catching up. Have yourselves a great night. Thanks for listening to Crunch Time and Sports Talk on 95.3 The Score.
Come on, no!